If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Got Scott Jennings coming up here. Ethan's going to get him on the line. But we do have some more information with the shooting at Brown University. So a couple of things are happening here. And I don't know how many people were dialed into the fact that there was a professor at MIT in Brookline, Massachusetts, who was murdered on Monday night. And at first, you know, these two things were being reported as separate instances. Well, now they are saying that there might be, they're not saying definitively, but they're investigating whether there was a connection to the killing earlier this week of the MIT professor, according to some people that were briefed that are not authorized to speak. So this is anonymous sourcing by the New York Times and other outlets. They say they're searching for the individual and a car that the person is believed to have rented. The authorities have not publicly identified the suspect in either case. They believe the rented vehicle is the same make and model of a car identified at the MIT shooting. So that's kind of interesting. And then there is a report that says, this is all new here, that there is an arrest warrant that has been signed for the potential suspect. The other thing that I heard is that, you remember what happened yesterday, Sue, is they released all this new video of a guy who they said might have been in close proximity of the shooter. We don't think this guy's the shooter, but maybe he knows something about the shooter. Well, apparently they located him.
Yes.
And they have interviewed him. But now it seems like they're taking this, you know, a step further. But what I found fascinating here is that they're connecting this with MIT. Because when I heard about, I think a lot of people would have this human reaction. When you hear about that, you sort of put the two things together. Wow, you got, you know, elite universities, Ivy League schools, and there's murders. The one at Brown, we're going to find out more, but it seems like it was pretty targeted, right?
Yeah, it does.
I don't think he was just going in there and trying to shoot up the whole classroom, but we don't know because they haven't released information, even what he said before he did the shooting. So here's ABC reporting. This says law enforcement officials have identified a possible suspect in connection with the mass shooting. They've issued a warrant for the arrest. This comes after multiple sources briefed on the investigation told ABC News that the Brown shooting and the murder of an MIT professor may be linked.
So, interesting.
Yeah, that's the very latest on that. This is one of those situations where we may know even more before we wrap up the show here this afternoon. Speaking of which, we'll have at the bottom of the hour, Jane Duker will be here. She's going to be on the roundtable tomorrow. Big political news locally. Sam Page, the current king of St. Louis County, is not going to run for re-election for county executive. You might remember that Jane herself tried to unseat Sam the last time around. No one else wanted to try, so she gave it her best shot.
Exactly.
But this is big because he's just been such a terrible executive.
Oh, and now we're in debt.
And he's probably going to get, you know, indicted. Well, it's a mess. But she'll join us at the bottom of the hour, talk about that. We, of course, have a roundtable tomorrow with Jane, former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith, Paul Hall on entertainment, Frank Cusimano will have sports, and then Greg Coase in the 5 o'clock hour. He's a documentary filmmaker, and his movie, Song Sung Blue, from 15 years ago, is about to be released as a major motion picture starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson and a bunch of others. So Greg's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. Right now, we are back. We are graced with his presence one more time before the end of the year. Scott Jennings with his best-selling book, A Revolution of Common Sense, is out there on the New York Times list. He, of course, is a regular on this show at 97.1 FM Talk, political insider. Jennings, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Mark, Merry Christmas. I'm great. Thanks for mentioning the fact that I did make the New York Times bestseller list. With no help from Fox News, I might add. They literally would not promote my book, and I'm a little salty about it. They play clips of me all day. No help with the book, but we made the list anyway.
I will tell you that I lobbied Brian Kilmeade and his producer for his radio show at the very least. You might remember I filled in on that show about a year and a half ago, but they said they'd love to have you, but Fox would probably not think it was a good idea. So that's unfortunate. But look, you're selling plenty of books without the help of Fox, right?
Yeah, I'm out here doing it guerrilla style. I'm in the streets. I'm out here fighting coast to coast, city to city. I've been in Michigan, California, Texas, Florida, New York, Washington, Pennsylvania, Ohio, all over, buddy. I'm out here selling books one at a time. One at a time in it.
Well, and you know, it's a major fail on my part. We really wanted to get you here, and I think we still can, but we had some resources issue, you know, to get a book deal or a book signing in December, but we're still going to work on that as we move forward. But we should mention, of course, A Revolution of Common Sense, How Donald Trump Stormed Washington and Fought for Western Civilization would be a fine gift underneath the tree this holiday season. I hope to God you get some time with the family here in the next couple of weeks, Jennings. Do you at least get that?
Yeah, I'm home today. I've got a little bit more TV to do before Christmas hits. But yeah, I'm going to get a few days at home. And I've pre-recorded and pre-loaded some interviews for the radio show. So I have not slept in my own bed much at all.
Oh, I can imagine.
Couple of months or this year. And I'm looking for a little bit of downtime over Christmas so I can see the boys.
Well, if you would do me a huge favor, since you're home, you know, I mentioned this maybe the last time we spoke, that something would be arriving at your home that's sort of a gift from St. Louis. This Tom Curtis, who does this book folding, he made one for the Mark Reardon Show, and as soon as I got that in the spring, I'm like, I knew your book was coming. I'm like, oh, we got to get one of these done for Jennings. So, Tom, I think you responded to him and thanked him, but he would love to have a picture of you with the book folding, if that's possible, because he was super excited to do that for you.
Yeah, I did get it. It's really cool, and I did send him a note, but I will take a I'm going to go home and I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you.
Yes.
And you can pass it on, but it's a cool thing. Like, it, I don't know how to explain it, but it like puts the image of your book on these folded pages. Anyway, it's sitting in my living room.
It's awesome. Very unique. Yeah, I had never seen anything like it until he surprised the show with one, so I thought it was cool. All right, let's get into some politics. Now, I haven't heard you today on this. Dude, I thought that speech was really bad last night.
Bad? Here's the deal. He had to give it in 20 minutes, or I don't think the networks were going to take it.
I know.
So that meant he had to rush a little. And, you know, he's never been the world's greatest teleprompter speaker.
That's exactly.
That's not his best venue. So you put him on a prompter, which he doesn't like, and then you tell him to speed up and get it under 20 minutes, which he probably didn't like. The most important thing he said was the first thing he said. We inherited a mess, and I am fixing it. I mean, part of the argument here is you're going to have to give me a little bit of forbearance. I mean, you don't understand how bad it was. When we got here, I interviewed Kevin Hassett, the president's top economic advisor, yesterday on the radio show at the White House, and he was telling me, I mean, our economy was on the brink, and so it wasn't like they just inherited a little bit of a little problem. They were in a mess, and that's what Trump said, so I think that was the most important thing, but he's going to have to get out there and define the terms of the election. That was the purpose of the speech.
Well, to your point, and I said this the last couple of days, you know, I always refer to this as there's teleprompter Trump and then there's, you know, off the prompter Trump. And a lot of times there's like a mix in between. I think that's what he does on the campaign style. And it just works better for him when he can shine with the personality. I felt like there was so much, you know, and it's a time crunch. It interfered with my Survivor finale last night, Jennings. So I know why they were trying to do that. But I didn't think it was the president's finest moment. What Susie Wiles in that interview, I don't think it's the most damaging thing that we've seen in this administration, but what do you make of that? I don't know if you have a relationship with her. I've been impressed by what I know about her, you know, and she kind of stays behind the scenes, but it's confusing to us, to a lot of people, why she would even sit down with Chris Whipple from Vanity Fair.
Well, here's the thing. I do know her. She's tough. She's blunt. She's candid. She has the trust of the president, and she's not going anywhere. That's number one. Number two, I'll be honest. I interpreted that interview as sometimes the chief of staff gets to say things or needs to say things that the president can't say. And so if I were somebody that she mentioned in that interview, I might take a look at that and think about it. And some of the things were just more towel snaps. But, you know, look, she's the chief. The president trusts her. And if she has something to say about your job performance, you need to pay attention to that. I actually like the transparency. I was with the author, Chris Whipple, the guy who did the interviews on TV the other night, and he said, you know, when you tried to talk to the Biden people about anything, it's, well, it has to be off the record. You can't use my name. You have to send me my quotes for approval. I mean, it was so opaque what they were doing in there with Trump and with Wiles. You know, love it or hate it, they will open the kimono and let you see right inside.
Well, and I like that, too. But, you know, there's a big difference, and you would know this, between reading the piece, which I did, and then I can't help myself these days because I leave the station, I turn on Aaron Burnett, and they're obsessed with this stuff. And you'd think that this was, you know the biggest piece of journalism on this Trump administration proving that he's incapable of doing the job. The White House is chaotic. No one's running the show. That's the way that they're spinning this when the actual piece, you know, it's got some things in there that you might be surprised by. But I think even the J.D. Vance conspiracy theorist thing, that was taken out of context. He joked about it when he was on, you know, somewhere doing a speech a couple of days ago. So a lot of that is the sins of journalistic omission is what I like to call them, Scott.
Yeah, this is the greatest failing of modern political media. The focus on things that only matter to a handful of Beltway insiders that people out in the middle of the country could give a rip about. I mean, look, it's politicians in Washington flapping jaws about other politicians. And, you know, we spend all of our time covering it and we act like it's a big deal. But the only reason they do that is because they think, well, we can use this to try to destabilize or distract or somehow hurt Trump today. I mean, that's the core of it. I mean, the only reason anybody would read any of this and focus on it is because they think it's bad for Trump. All day long yesterday, I was hearing about Trump's poll numbers. Oh, his poll numbers are down. That's why he has to speak to the country. Nobody was willing to mention that the Democrats have an 18% approval rating in the latest Quinnipiac survey until I brought it up. It's all Trump all the time. Any little thing to destroy Trump, that's what they're going to do. And this Vanity Fair thing, it'll come and go. It's not going to matter that much. But, you know, in that one moment, hey, we could use it to hurt Trump. So let's do it all day long. And then we wonder, why isn't anybody watching?
Well, and then to your point, here's the CNN guy, Harry Enten, talking about this and the polling. Fascinating when you think about it.
How are voters feeling about Democrats right now?
Yeah, I mean, Democrats in the minds of the American public are lower than the Dead Sea. What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a look. The net approval rating for Democrats in Congress, you said it, Kate Baldwin, the lowest ever. Look at this. Overall, they are 55 points underwater. Their approval rating is south of 20%.
Oh, here, I don't know Harry Enten, but he gets very excited about these poll numbers, and that's not good news, but I'm not hearing a lot of hour after hour discussion about those poll numbers, Scott.
No, that came, you know, it came out yesterday. That was Harry this morning. Harry actually will call balls and strikes on this stuff, but he's about the only one. And, you know, Democrats are suffering. They're languishing. They've not done anything in the last year to improve their own standing with the American people. I think it's because of their adherence to doing anything and everything for illegal aliens and criminals, violent criminals and so on. I mean, if you spend all your time on that, what do you expect? There's all this focus on Trump. Did you know Trump right now on the averages is more popular today in his second term than where Obama was in his and where Bush was in his? So it's incremental, but he's a little higher than them. So what's going on with Trump is really not historically unusual. What's going on with the Democrats is extremely unusual. 18%, they are down to friends, family, illegals, transgenders, and health insurance executives. That's who they got left in the Democrat Party right now. It's terrible.
There are a lot of people who are on our side. I'm you know, kind of tracking this the last few weeks. I find folks, and I think you might be in the camp that says, look, the economy, look, we got great numbers on inflation today. We're going to roll into 2026. Scott Bessent saying good things, obviously. But then there's some, I've been in the panicking camp a little bit. I was in the spring with the tariffs, but, you know, I've been looking at my 401k lately, and I'm quite happy. But on some of this other stuff with the economy, like Sean Spicer a couple weeks ago was on, he's very panicked about some of these numbers and what they mean for the midterms. And then others, don't worry about it. So where are you on that? Because obviously that's another one of the narratives already. It's all about the midterms because we got to focus on, you know, bad things about Trump.
Inflation cooled today, 2.7%. The expected number was 3.1. That's a good thing. If you talk to Hassett and you talk to Bessent, they'll tell you they're in full expectation mode for a boom this year. Energy prices are continuing to come down. That lowers the cost of inputs. That helps agriculture. It helps anybody who's using a lot of power like manufacturing. So there's just a lot of optimism about the policies they put in place last year, 25, booming and coming to fruition in 26. So look, I'm an optimistic person. I believe in lower taxes. I believe in less regulation. That's what they gave the American people. And I have to believe it's going to bear fruit. I think for the argument, though, for the election, Mark, I think Trump has to continue to ring this bell. You don't understand how bad it was when we got here.
Yep. Yeah.
And I mean, you can't let them get away with having amnesia about the 4 years of ruination they put up on this country.
But that's what they want to do. And that's, you know, even with the Chris Whipple thing, I think that's where, you know, the left's looking for an opportunity. They don't want to talk about those six. I mean, the border in and of itself, I'm pretty sure the border is what really turned, not that my wife wasn't going to vote for a Republican anyway, but what turned her into someone who was more interested in what was happening on the planet. She didn't used to watch a lot of, you know, news. She'd filter it through me, which I don't know if that's a good thing. But man, that border issue pissed her off so much. And then some of the other culture issues, obviously. But she's more engaged than I've ever seen her in her life. Well, Jennings, what's on tonight? We air the radio show at 8 p.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. A little preview of that.
Yeah, great show. Alex Marlowe, the editor-in-chief of Breitbart, and I had a great conversation about the news of the day. And then I just wrapped it up live. I just did a great talk with Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. He went over the news of the day. We got to talk about the breaking news on the reclassifying marijuana. Lankford reacted to that. We talked about Venezuela, healthcare. So really, news of the day from a Senate insider, James Lankford. It's a great talk, and you'll hear it tonight at 8 o'clock.
Where are you? I think you know this. My wife works in the cannabis industry. I've been watching this, and I was hoping this was going to happen for a while now. And I don't know if what your thoughts were during the show or Senator Lankford's, but I'm glad that the president did it personally.
Lankford was opposed. He did not like it. And I did note that the president got a letter from some more conservative Republicans encouraging him not to do it. Their view is this encourages people to believe that this is a good thing to do. So there are differences of opinion. Now, the president in his remarks today, which I played on the show, he noted that like 82% of the American people approve of this move. So this is an example of Trump the popularist, I think. He sees a poll and he realizes it's going to be a popular thing to do. He's going to get a little resistance in the conservative flank. It's not full legalization for recreational purposes, so that'll probably keep the criticism of him muted.
Yeah, but it's what it, and I don't want to get into it right now. I talked about it a little bit earlier, but it frees up a lot of some of the banking rules and things like that that the industry has been struggling with. And yeah, I don't think it's for everyone. I'm not telling people to go out and smoke weed, but I'm a libertarian on that issue, Jennings. Mm-hmm. Have a great Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas to you. Congratulations on all your success this year. Enjoy some time, though, with the family in Louisville, and we'll soon enough be talking about Cardinals baseball and all that folly after the first
Mark,
of the year.
I love you, brother. Merry Christmas. Best to your family, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Scott. We'll see you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, you're going to have to go a lot further north than St. Louis to have Christmas with the snow. We had Dave Murray on yesterday, and the forecast for Christmas Day in particular is looking like it's going to be a high near 70, if not above 70, 71 degrees. So no snow in St. Louis for Christmas. Earlier on the program, I started to get into this audio about the situation with the Target worker, which has bubbled up online. And this is So California-based Enlow Health and the CEO, Mike Willermood is his name, had to respond at an actual press conference because that medical center had received more than 6,000 what he referred to as profanity-laced messages since the video went viral earlier in the day. And what happened was is there was a woman who was working at Target, and she had a red shirt on. And she had a shirt because she was working at Target that's red, but also had something about Charlie Kirk on it. So this woman, who thinks it's a good idea to record her, goes up to her and starts berating her.
Let you wear that shirt here?
Yes. Why? Why are you taking my picture?
Why are you wearing that shirt? You're working.
It's not a Target red shirt. I can wear any red shirt.
It's not a plain shirt.
It doesn't have to be
a Charlie Kirk shirt.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Are you stupid?
No.
Why the would you wear that? You're at work at Target. That's not a Target shirt. It's not a plain red shirt. You support a racist.
It's not racist.
See, Karen is very upset here, and I don't even think Karen knows what she's talking about. Her name has been out there. I'm not going to release it. We'll just call her Karen. My apologies to the Karens out there, who some of which might be my friends. But she just gets all in this woman's face, and the profanity continues.
You support a racist.
He's not a racist.
Yes, he is. No, yes, he f***ing is.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stand here and argue with you.
You're not. You should go get your manager. You should not be allowed to wear
the
at work.
By the way, this is what I said earlier, too. On the racism charge, was that something like when this happened, I don't remember Jimmy Kimmel and the others going after him over racism. Well, they said he was a bigot, right? And he loved God. They didn't like that about him. But the racism stuff, I'm not sure.
Unacceptable. Un-f***ing acceptable.
That's your opinion.
No, the opinion is he's a f***ing racist and you support him.
That's your opinion, ma'am.
And you shouldn't. You should not be allowed to wear that. This is going to be taken above your f***ing head. That's insane. Insane.
Have a nice day.
Well, I don't think it went well for her to elevate this to Target. And I'll give you an update on that in just a moment. But here is the reaction from the Target employee, because she was then interviewed by local media in California.
People are calling for her to be fired for this. Do you think that that's right? Would you like that to happen?
No, I don't think that's right. Like, one saying I have is two wrongs don't make a right. You know, she wronged me, but I don't want to wrong her, or I don't want her wrong, because it's not going to make it right. I mean, that was her opinion. She's the one that put it on Facebook or put it on that. So, you know, but I really wouldn't want to see somebody lose their job over it.
I mean, how nice is she? Because, yeah, she's just doing her job. She's being filmed. She's being berated. There's F-bombs being thrown at her. The woman who films this that thinks it's a good idea because white guilty Karen, who lives in a place like Webster Groves or Kirkwood, thinks that all her friends are going to rally around her. And then what happens is there's groups out there like Libs of TikTok and some of the others and Wokeness. They get a hold of this and they get a hold of it fast. And you've just ruined your entire life, because now you've forced the CEO of your own company, Enlone Health, to hold a news conference because of one of your social media postings. Now, ladies and gentlemen, whether the so-called victim in this wanted her to be fired or not, I can almost guarantee you with 99.9% certainty, even though Mike doesn't really answer the question here, but when he's asked, you know, personnel matters, etc., I don't think she's got a job. And, you know, I don't like people getting fired over some of this stuff, but she was just cruel, and it was way over the top and uncalled for. And here's the CEO of her company, or her former company, perhaps.
Hello Health acknowledges that the off-hours behavior by a medical assistant employed in one of our outpatient clinics, as depicted in a recent social media post, was abhorrent and deeply concerning for our caregivers, our organization, and our community. The Target employee who was verbally accosted in this post deserves significant credit for handling the situation in a calm and collected manner. We appreciate the many individuals who have seen this post and exercised restraint as they voice their personal views regarding the situation. Unfortunately, many thousands of others have chosen to use profanity-laced language to express their disapproval to Enlone caregivers. As part of our policy and commitment to confidentiality, Enlone Health does not provide comments or statements regarding individual employees or personnel matters.
How'd you like to be the HR person in that company dealing with that nightmare yesterday? Because it doesn't take very long for people online to identify who these people are, right? And, you know, the name wasn't shared, but they kind of knew who she was and where she worked. Now, I'm not suggesting that what she did was in any way, shape, or form criminal. But let me point this out. Let's say that the woman who was working at Target was a they-them or a, you know, some
right.
Z-Zare or some other pronoun, right? And someone went up and misgendered them and repeatedly did that. The left would be calling that a hate crime and want that person arrested. I don't support. See, this is what happens, too. What happened to that woman is horrible. And if the woman who did it lost her job, I'm not going to be that upset about it. I'm not going to call for her to lose her job. But what does kind of piss me off is all the people that had a call and then behaved just as atrociously when they left messages on the voicemail for that company. It's one thing to, you know, protest and write an email or make a phone call. But when you behave as badly or worse as the person that you're pointing out the behavior of, then you suck, too.
I mean,
that's what people do. And it's vile. And it really happens a lot on social media. I see it all the time. You know, Facebook is very toxic. But how people can get angry about that, justifiably so, and then think that they can themselves perform reprehensible behavior and think that nobody's going to know about it, and they're safe in their home because they can hide behind, you know, anonymity. Those people, let's just put it this way. I think they're on the naughty list.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, we missed her last week. Jen Duker down for the count with a virus. She's back, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow on the roundtable with former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith. And as a bonus round, Jane is with us because she's so excited. Sam Page, or Scam, as you call him, is not running for re-election. It's a victory in and Woo-hoo! Of itself, isn't it, Jane? How are you this afternoon?
I mean, it is a victory. Of course, I feel fully vindicated, and that's great.
But, well, you should, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, okay, it has nothing to do with my criminal hearing tomorrow. Okay, all right.
Yeah, right.
Nothing to see here. And, I mean, what's so funny is he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, this is a political prosecution, and I just can't get anything done because I'm a blue dot in a red state. And it's like, dude, yeah. If that were the case, the lawsuit would go away once you say you're not running. I mean, this is such nonsense. Here's the other thing. He needs to go now. I mean, St. Louis County residents do not need another year of what is going on. And this idea that he's going to, you know, focus on what matters. Well, what have you been doing for 7 years?
Thank you.
All right. But let me just hit you with this question right now before we get into some of the other stuff. If he were to go right now, for example, let's say he resigns. What's the process for replacing him? Because I'm having people tell me that he's going to do this, and then Jake Zimmerman, who's the assessor, is going to be put in, and then he has an advantage when he runs for, you know, he'll run, and he's already said that he's thinking about running, right?
Yes, but I mean, Brian Williams has nearly $1 million. He'll probably have close to $1 million by the end of the quarter, so by the end of the year. So, I mean, you know, I adore Dennis Hancock. And he's a great councilman. And you know what? If we had a race with Dennis Hancock and Brian Williams, like, it would be a good choice for county voters. Two honest people who want to do right by St. Louis County and want to get the partisanship out and want to just govern. This is county government. This is not, you know, flash issue discussion time the way that Sam has made it for the last 7 years. So that would be a good choice for St. Louis County voters. I mean, certainly Jake has a right to get in. I think it's going to be very difficult to beat Brian Williams. I think he is very well respected by, you know, both sides of the aisle. And I think he's got the momentum. And so I think, so what happens logistically, legally? The council will vote who the next county executive will be, and it has to be a Democrat.
If he were to resign or step down,
or be removed.
I got you.
Correct.
Okay. But let me go back to the criminal stuff here, because I want people to stay on top of what's going on. What he said today was that too many leaders have forgotten that courage means I can't even say this with a straight face, Jane. Courage means standing up for what's right, not what brings them headlines or takes someone else down. So I've made a decision that I believe takes courage. I'm not running for re-election to a third term.
I'm cutting and running.
Yeah,
that's courage.
Yeah.
Cutting and running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of spending next year campaigning, I'm going to spend my last year in office doing what I've always done, focusing completely on my side practice. Oh, I'm sorry. Focusing completely on you and the work that matters. Now, with this court battle, so I actually heard from Andrew Bailey this morning. I texted him last night. He's working for the FBI right now. But it was Andrew Bailey that kind of started this, accusing him of technically stealing money because he used county money to print and mail flyers to sway voter opinion on that ballot initiative in the spring. So there's a hearing on this tomorrow. How solid is this case against him? What do you think might happen here?
Well, first we need to take one little quick step back. Andrew Bailey didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to politically go after Sam Page. He was appointed by the Circuit Court of St. Louis County to be a special prosecutor for this matter. Okay? And it was investigated by the Highway Patrol. So, I mean, this wasn't Andrew Bailey just saying, oh, I'm going to go crazy. I mean,
right.
You know, the Highway Patrol did a report, and he could have done this on his own. He didn't. He was appointed by the Circuit Court in order to evaluate his case, and he did, and he found a violation. So Sam likes to say this is all baloney. The problem is the Highway Patrol did a very fulsome report. First of all, they got his phone, okay? They seized his cell phone. That is very bad, okay? And he's got a motion pending tomorrow to try to suppress evidence of this on the cell phone, which is ridiculous. So, I mean, he was texting his staffers, telling them what to do on his private cell phone to their private cell phone. But, you know, it was all on the up and up.
But they'll have, and sorry, Jane, your phone line just sounds terrible right now. I don't know what's going on, but you're phasing in and out. But is that, are some of the things that might have been exchanged on the messages on the cell phones, is that up in theory for discussion tomorrow? Is that just sort of separate?
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We lost your phone.
Oh, man.
Something tells me she's at her house and maybe just in a part of the house where, you know, it's not sounding right. Look, let me say this about Brian Williams. Brian Williams is an African-American state senator. Up until about a month and a half ago, I'd only met him one time when I went to the Capitol in February. Steve Butts and Jeff Smith, we kind of ran into him in the cafeteria at the Capitol, and I said hi to him. But then Jane and Ed Rohde, who they're working, and Ed Rohde's working with Senator Williams, they wanted me to get to know him. Even though he's a Democrat, I sat down, I had lunch with him a few weeks ago, and he was very impressive. And it's hard for me to believe, just based on what I know about the field, nothing against Dennis Hancock, but I've been in these situations for the past 15 years. I've been in the war room when the, you know, results are coming in with Bill Corrigan or some of the other Republicans who have come close to winning. It's not going to happen. So Republicans not going to win for St. Louis County. So what I think Republicans need to do is focus. Dennis won't like this very much, but focus on who the best candidate might be for the job. And one of the things that I came away with was Senator Williams. And, you know, look, Sue, I have to say this from the get-go. I've known politicians for, you know, four decades. There have been quite a few politicians that I've been impressed with who have gone to federal prison, okay, or gotten out of office or done something shady. So, you know, your gut instinct isn't always right. But what I will tell you is it seemed to me that Senator Williams really wanted to focus on St. Louis County. In other words, he's not trying to use this as a stepping stone to draw attention to like, he's not going to be talking about Hamas and all this stuff. Kind of like what Kara's focusing on St. Louis right now. So the way that, you know, and I have to believe him based on our conversation, but Brian really did seem like someone who is interested in making some tough decisions with
a budget situation that is really,
really reckless right now in St. Louis County. Jane, I think we have you back there. We lost you completely. Sorry about that.
No, and I don't know what evidence that you heard, but here's the evidence. I mean, the Highway Patrol interviewed his employees. He talks about inaccuracies with the Highway Patrol report. I mean, the Highway Patrol is based in Jefferson City. They don't, I mean, the idea that they're somehow doing a political hit piece on him is a joke.
Yes.
And so it's his own employees that cooked him. They have his phone, and his lawyer specifically told him not to use the advocacy language. It can't be an educational campaign if you say B is bad.
You mean in the flyers
that he spent taxpayer dollars on. It's a very dicey move. I mean, it is in the statutes. You shall not use public taxpayer dollars to pass an initiative. I mean, you just can't. And so the Supreme Court gave a very slim exception saying if it's merely educational, you can only say facts. He misled people. He told voters that it applied to the police department, which is patently false. The police department is governed by a police board. It has nothing to do. The chief of police cannot be removed by the council because of the charter, because of the police board. So that was a patent lie. See, he wanted to use the police. And he says it's an education campaign, but he only picked certain voters to send it to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
So what is the what is the potential punishment for? Is that a felony?
Yes.
Okay.
It's stealing.
All right.
It's stealing.
Okay. I just want to, so there's, you know, it's potential prison time if convicted, right?
And you know what? Do I think the likelihood of him going to prison is very small? I mean, this is, you know, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because remember, you know, he hired lawyers to try to get it thrown off the ballot with taxpayer dollars. So, I mean, it wasn't just the cost of the flyer. I mean, he spent a lot of time and energy doing this and money and taxpayer resources. He started with campaign money and then he switched over to taxpayer dollars. Well, look, he knew.
It's time to get him. This was the best news this morning. But to your point, I wish you would just get out of there.
I was shaking with joy.
Yeah, but good. I wish you would just get out of there right now. We'll talk more about it tomorrow on the roundtable. I'll see you at 3. Thanks, Jane.
Bye, guys.
All right, take care. Should be a great roundtable tomorrow with Jane and former Senators Smith and Lamping. We'll talk about a lot of the local stories and then the president's speech last night, the reclassification of marijuana, a bunch of topics up for debate tomorrow afternoon. I got a couple things I want to do for Cut of the Day, so let's get right to that.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio Cut of the Day.
Well, I've just recently gotten to know St. Louis native Leland Vittert, who has written a book about his life and, you know, his struggles with being on the autism spectrum. He's at News Nation now. He used to be at Fox. He interned at KMOX. Lucky Vittert is his nickname. His father was on Donnybrook, Mark Vittert, for many, many years. And the book that he wrote is sort of a love letter to his brother, his father, Mark. But he was interviewing on News Nation Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And, man, it gets tough. You don't see this in journalism very often where people ask questions and they can't answer and then they get cornered because of follow-up questions. But I think that's kind of what happened here.
What is the bigger threat to America right now, American values, American life? Islamophobia or jihad?
I think we have to focus, quite frankly, on, if we're worried about the threat to American values, on the person who's in the White House. I mean, we have a president.
Oh, come on. Really? Oh, no, is that where we're going? Come on.
Yeah, I'm going there because we have a president who has completely undermined our democracy, who has.
So you don't see jihad, you don't see this is a problem?
What I don't see is it as a single lens problem. We have a president who has been determined to undermine our constitutional principles, to degrade our democracy, to divide instead of unite us.
So keep in mind, and there's another part of this, that the question is, what's worse? Islamophobia, which Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democrats, they love to use that word. If you're concerned about Islamic terrorism, well, instantly, you're an Islamic, you know, you're against Islam, you're against all Muslim people, and it's Islamophobia. Well, Leland's like, no, that's not how it works, really.
The responsibilities of
I have to say, Congressman, you know how much I admire you, and I always appreciate you being willing to come on and discuss things. But we booked you to talk about anti-Semitism and Islamophobia in America. So
I'm asking the question about Islamophobia.
No, those on the left right now, members of Congress, okay, Bernie Sanders and AOC today, the normalization and acceptance of Islamophobia in politics is disgusting. Our Muslim neighbors are not Republican scapegoats for anti-Semitic attacks and Trump's failed policies, how Trump's policies laid. Hold on. Bernie Sanders, we must stand together and end anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and all hate, no exceptions. Mamdani, 1 million Muslims live in New York City. We belong there, as does every other New Yorker. Vile Islamophobia from the councilwoman has no place in our city. What did the councilwoman say? We need to take very seriously the demand to begin the expulsion of Muslims from Western nations. Again, Democrats do not seem all that concerned right now about the threat from jihad.
That's a mic drop right there. Lucky did a very, very good job. And then there's this, and this is such a sad and tragic story. We've had a couple of those this week. Former NASCAR race car driver Greg Biffle was on an airplane on a business jet, and it just exploded into fire when it hit the ground at an airport about 45 miles north of Charlotte. Greg Biffle and his family members were among the 7 who were killed. Our friend Kenny Wallace, who was on the show a couple of days ago, posted about Craig Wadsworth, who was on that plane, and he passed away. He drove Kenny's motorhome for 6 years, and he indicated his heart is broken. Here's what he said about Greg Biffle.
Biff was really good at his trade. He was one of the best. Like I said, great race car driver, winner, and a champion. But as we clearly saw, as life progressed, it's like, is there more to Biff? And boy, there was. I did a Kenny conversation with the Biff, and this guy had it going on. When the hurricane was at Helena, it went through the North Carolina mountains. It was then what we saw Greg Biffle was all about. It was Greg Biffle, Andy Petrie, Cletus, you know, Garrett Mitchell. They all got in their helicopters. And Greg Biffle, what a great pilot, got in that helicopter and became a humanitarian mission. He would save people stuck in the mountains. You should hear these stories about Greg Biffle.
That's Kenny Wallace. He did like an 11-minute tribute, so that's just a portion of it. But again, I mean, this is what makes you kind of put your life into perspective a little bit. You know, you bitch about the little things, the inconveniences in your lives. We have a Hollywood family who's going through hell right now planning funerals because two people's throats were slit by their own son. We have a NASCAR family, and that's a big family. Not, I'm not talking about Biffle. I'm talking about that NASCAR world of NASCAR family. Who's affected by this right before Christmas, and now you're planning seven funerals, including four in one family. It's horrific. So go home, hug your kids, hug your family, and be good to yourself. And we'll talk tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com. You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.